Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Savannah Hernandez joins us in ALX, fresh prisoners of war from the Twitter battles. And then Libby Evans explains FTX. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Open up your podcast app, type in Charlie Kirk Show, and hit subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. There's lots of things I'm thankful for, but one of the great developments this last year was Elon Musk purchasing Twitter. They were naysayers and people that were very negative, like, oh, Charlie, he's not going to do anything. There were a lot of doubters out there. But we now have seen that Elon Musk did this for a reason, because he does believe in freedom of speech. And I am honored to welcome home from the prisoner of war of Twitter. Consider this to be their kind of welcome back ceremony, as kind of when Donald Trump met the prisoners from North Korea, or I think it was North Korea, on the tarmac when they returned home. ALX and Savannah Hernandez have been let out of Twitter jail after a very long sentence. Welcome back to the free world of Twitter, guys.
Thank you, Charlie.
So I'll start with Savannah. Savannah, how long were you in Twitter jail?
I was in Twitter jail for 2 years, and I had a triple ban, Charlie, because my first ban was, you know, it came after Donald Trump retweeted me back in 2020, and then they came up with the excuse of ban evasion, despite me never having any other accounts, any suspensions, any bans. And then I made two more accounts after that, which were subsequently deleted. So 2 long years, Charlie.
2 years. ALX, I feel it's been at least 3 years for you. Is that right?
It's been about 2.5 years. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Similar situation. I was retweeted by President Trump about 8 times. And then I had posted a Joe Biden meme. And 2 hours later, or 20 minutes later, I can't remember at this point, I found my account suspended. And similar to Savannah, I got hit with, oh, you're ban evading. And then recently I tried to appeal. Actually, the day I got my account back, I got an appeal back saying that I engaged in targeted harassment, which I had never done. And that was the morning I got my account back. And then an hour after Trump was reinstated that same day, I was getting texts saying my account was back. So.
Yeah. So ALX, let's talk about the political and broad implication of this. And then Savannah, I want to get your thoughts on this. You know, for some of our listeners, they don't use Twitter and they think Twitter is irrelevant, but it really is the incubator of elite thought. It is the place where ideas kind of are formed and then they spread to the rest of society through newspapers and other forms of media. And now ALX, Elon has done what he said he was going to do. What is the significance of this? What are the ramifications long term of a free and open Twitter?
Yeah, so a lot of people don't understand how much Twitter does actually control the news cycle. I was having a conversation with some family members who don't use Twitter, but they don't understand how it does impact what they see and read. They read their news from online newspapers or even physical newspapers. However, most of those stories start from journalists who are on Twitter. So even if you aren't a person who uses Twitter, you're getting your information from someone else who is reporting it from Twitter.
Yes.
So what this means is now the leftists are no longer going to control the agenda and the trending topics. That was always a big thing. And now Elon just posted a poll asking if he should restore all banned accounts. So this is going to have political implications coming up from like the midterms. After the midterms and into 2024, if you remember 2016, that's how Trump won. online. Like everyone was setting the agenda. 2016 Twitter was like like a Wild West, and this is going to have major political implications for 2024.
So Savannah, you make a lot of content. You're able to push back against left-wing narratives. Now you could do so on Twitter. In fact, one of your tweets, now that you're reinstated, is getting hundreds of thousands of views. Talk about the significance of this.
So, Charlie, I'd like to actually use my own two past banned Twitter accounts as an example of how I was able to combat the narrative. So after my original account was banned for also as well my reporting on the Black Lives Matter riots of 2020, which per CNN were fiery but mostly peaceful, you know, a lot of major news organizations linked back to my footage of white Antifa members shutting down the highway and stopping a Black father from going to work to provide for his children in the name of Black Lives Matter. You went and you read that article over the past 2 years, and there was no video to link to it. So, you know, who's to say if that story was even true? The second account that I got deleted was because I went and I exposed how the athletes, the female athletes at the 2022 NCAA Women's Swimming Championships, were not happy that biological male Leah Thomas was swimming against them. The entire media was trying to say, oh, this was a great thing. The athletes are not upset about it at all. It's progressive. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, I spoke to the one athlete brave enough to speak out against Leah Thomas. She said she was not happy with what was going on, and the NCAA was telling athletes themselves, don't even mention Leah Thomas's name in the locker room, do not speak to media. Her interview went viral. Tucker Carlson picked it up. It reshaped the entire narrative about Leah Thomas, and then Twitter deleted her interview. And then you fast forward to the next Twitter account that was deleted. I went to DC Pride in Washington. And of course, we're told that pride events and having children in attendance are a good thing. I captured a clip of a new transgender person twerking in front of children, and it went viral. It was picked up by almost every single right-wing news network because of how shocking the imagery was. This is why independent journalism is important, because you have the entire mainstream media saying that, oh, it's progressive, it's loving, everything is doing great with our economy. Another one of the segments that I do is I go to minority communities when Joe Biden tweets out about how well the economy is doing or how gas prices are lowering. I go and I ask the actual Americans who are affected by this to you know, give their response to President Joe Biden. And those videos always go viral because they completely combat the fake propaganda that our own American government is pushing out on the people. So that is why censorship, you know, gone from Twitter now is so important, because it allows the American people to actually have a voice and to push back against the government propaganda that we are consistently being fed. We're not trying to shape a narrative here. We're just trying to tell the truth. And the people are hungry for the truth. That's why, you know, footage like mine is so popular, because the American people just want to have their voices heard. And Elon Musk had to spend $44 billion dollars to make that happen.
It's one of the great expenditures in American history. I want to play a piece of tape here, just give you an idea of kind of one of the freaks that just got fired from Twitter. Play cut 100.
I am demanding an apology from Elon Musk. Last week, I lost my position at Twitter working as a senior fact checker, which I had been doing for 5 years, making sure that misinformation did not reach the public that could potentially damage our democracy. And I was told that the reason I was fired is because I had labeled a story about Hillary Clinton misinformation. Now, this story was a story about how Hillary Clinton had smashed her phone with a hammer to hide 30,000 emails. Now, I labeled that story misinformation because Hillary Clinton did not personally smash her phone with a hammer. She asked, she requested that her aide smash her phone with a hammer. These are two totally different scenarios, and I was simply pointing out that Hillary Clinton did not smash the phone with a hammer. She asked somebody else to smash her phone with a hammer. Therefore, the story about her smashing her phone to hide evidence is misinformation.
There's no way that has to be parody, ALX. There's no way that's real.
Yeah, I was going to say that has to be fake. I don't even think that Twitter actually has fact checkers. I know they have like their misinformation team or whatever. But I mean, half these people crying about getting fired too, half of them are getting like 3 months of basically paid free vacation. I mean, I don't know why any of these people would be complaining. Plus, he gave them the option too. Instead of getting fired, it's like, okay, you're getting off for free for basically 3 months and you're getting paid. So like that was really smart actually by Elon, because he's just like naturally weeding out anyone who doesn't want to work hard. So there are probably people like that, but yeah, I think that's parody.
The fact we can't tell shows exactly what it's exactly the problem with what's going on at Twitter in more ways than one. Everybody, email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. We're going to continue with Savannah Hernandez and ALX, at ALX. And then what's your Twitter handle?
@Sav_says_.
And both of them will be at America Fest, as you can see beautifully displayed behind me. You guys should get your tickets to America Fest at amfest.com, December 17, 18, 19, and 20 in Phoenix, Arizona. Tucker will be there. Candace Owens will be there. Kaylee McEnany, Greg Gutfeld, Laura Ingram, Matt Walsh, ALX, Savannah Hernandez, and more. That is amfest.com, amfest.com. Get your tickets today at amfest.com. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. It's hard to grasp why anyone would keep voting for record inflation, skyrocketing crime, and an open border. But anyway, why would anyone keep funding the left by sticking with big carriers? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they're making it very easy for you to try their service. Give them 60 days to show you why I trust them. Right now, when you try Patriot Mobile for 2 months, get your third month free plus free activation. They offer nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks and use the same towers as all three major carriers. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that's fighting to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call the 100% U.S.-based customer support team at 972-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Charlie, patriotmobile.com/Charlie, or call 972-PATRIOT. They do a wonderful job. I am a big fan of Patriot Mobile. I use them myself. Check it out, patriotmobile.com/Charlie. I want to play this piece of tape here just to you get an idea of the type of people that were suppressing us and banning Donald Trump. Play cut 102.
30 seconds left, 35 seconds.
You have like an atomic clock. Board.
No, he's got his thing. Everybody here, we're all about to get fired from Twitter.
What's the thing?
I've been 9 years and 9 months now. Same with you.
Right.
How long are you here?
4 years.
4 years?
2 months.
9 years and a month.
Oh, were you not moving?
No,
he was after.
So wait.
Okay. Oh, 10 seconds.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
0.
Happy New Year! Yay! Hooray! That's a lot of pomp and circumstance.
I mean, we should make fun of them, Savannah, but there's blood on their hands, for they suppressed early treatments about ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. I mean, these people did a lot of evil. I want to make sure that is communicated. These Twitter soy boys with not an ounce of testosterone in sight, they did evil for society. Savannah.
Exactly. Let's not forget about the suppression of the New York Post story.
Yes.
About Hunter Biden's laptop. Many people said, because they did run a poll, hey, if you knew about this before the election, do you think you might have voted differently? To which many people responded, yeah, I would have liked to have known this information. So to say that they were involved as well in, suppressing information ahead of our election, involved in suppressing information regarding COVID-19. We also had that article come out about The Intercept, or from The Intercept, about how the DHS was working to quell misinformation about the withdrawal of Afghanistan, COVID-19, basically all of the government corruption that the American people should be allowed to question and call out. The DHS was working alongside Twitter to go ahead and silence that and make sure the American public had no idea what was going on. So it is such a beautiful thing now to see that we, again, are able to share the truth, share both sides. And the best thing, too, is, these people on the left still have a platform to share whatever they want. We just now are allowed to combat it. For 2 years, I had a Daily Beast reporter slandered me as a white supremacist sympathizer neo-Nazi. I am now able to respond, and it's been absolutely glorious to, not be slandered. It's been great to be able to tell the American people the truth about what's going on, especially ahead of the 2024 elections.
It's well said. ALX, it looks as if we now have a more level playing field to be able to communicate and get the word out. This is a very significant thing. Your thoughts, ALX?
Yeah, so just on that tape too, I think it's sad how they're talking about how long they've been there. I've been here for 9 years, 4 years, whatever. So that shows me that they didn't actually work while they were there, because the only thing was, hey, are you willing to work hard? So basically they heard that and they're ready to give up their entire careers or whatever they did there. So that just shows that they didn't work hard. And number two, to your point about the suppression of information, why didn't they censor the WHO when they said that there's no clear evidence of human-to-human transmission of COVID? That tweet is still up with no indicators, no markers, no fact checks. That's still up there while they censored everyone else for whatever like actual information that they were spreading, whether it be about vaccines or treatments. But yeah, the playing field is about to get a whole lot more level. There's already a million votes on Elon's new poll. Currently, it's 78 to 26, I believe, that people are going to reinstate all banned accounts. So yeah, the playing field is about to get a whole lot more level.
I love it. Any final
Charlie,
thoughts?
And
yes, Savannah, please continue.
If I could jump in too, just to Alex's point, keep in mind as well that Elon Musk has been running Twitter for a couple of weeks now, and he's already put child sexual abuse material at the forefront, and that's been pretty much eradicated off of the platform. We have to ask the question, these employees who have been there for years on years, why did they not make this a priority, and why was Elon Musk able to clean this up in a matter of weeks?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Isn't it, ALX? I mean, why is it that those Twitter engineers, those weird guys, were okay with child exploitative material? Why is that?
Yeah, so do you know what's interesting is that their AI is able to detect memes, and they can take down memes, but they can't detect exploitative material of children and illegal content on. And this is the other thing, too. It's like, oh, we want family-friendly platform for misinformation. I think illegal content like that is more harmful to the general public than, oh, this tweet about COVID-19. So talking about harm. And also, yeah, there's two active lawsuits against Twitter right now where the Twitter actually reviewed like children that were complaining that there were their images on there. And Twitter denied them the right to have it taken down. And basically, they had to go to law enforcement to get it taken down.
The regime.
So they knew it was there.
Yeah, I mean, just think about it. The regime hates Elon Musk far more than they ever hated Jeffrey Epstein. That should make you think about something.
Mm-hmm.
Savannah and ALX, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Congratulations.
Thank you,
Charlie. Welcome back. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Look, you've helped build the wonderful MyPillow into the incredible company it is today. And I got to tell you, the things that they have, like the six-piece towel set, the two bath towels, the two hand towels, the two washcloths, game changer. The bed sheets, boom, knocked down to $29.98. But look, orders placed now through Christmas will have an extended money-back guarantee through March 1st. It's an amazing way to end your year and do your Christmas shopping and support the wonderful, the amazing, patriotic Mike Lindell. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code KIRK. Call 800-875-0425 and use promo code KIRK. That's MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK. The bed sheets are marked down as low as $29.98. And believe me when I say this, you'll get a great night's sleep. Mike Lindell is a great friend, a patriot, someone I really respect. MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK. That is MyPillow.com. Support this show and Mike Lindell. MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK. With us to help make sense of FTX, and we're going to learn together because I am far from an expert on this topic at all. I've been very obviously focused on. If you want to talk about Maricopa County and what precincts didn't perform the way they should, I'm your guy. FTX, I got some learning to do, and no better teacher than Libby Emmons from the Post Millennial. Libby, welcome to the program.
Hey, Charlie, how's it going?
It's going great. Okay, Libby, let's start at the basic level. Okay, what was FTX? And why was it so popular and seemingly successful for a period of time?
So FTX was a is still, it's a cryptocurrency exchange. It's where customers can come on. They can buy cryptocurrencies. They can store their cryptocurrencies there in sort of a wallet situation. And yeah, that's what they can do. That's what it was. It was founded by a man called Sam Bankman-Fried. And he had a financial background to a certain extent. He went to MIT. He was sort of a classical tech darling. You know, he wore messy t-shirts. He had moppy black hair. He seemed like a boy genius and all of those classic things. He got a lot of funding from venture capitalists and founded this exchange. His purpose in founding the exchange appears to be to have made a lot of money so that he could give it away as part of something that is called effective altruism. And that's the kind of philosophy he was engaged in. This apparently came from his parents, who were very into utilitarianism. So that's FTX, cryptocurrency exchange.
That was well summarized. Got it. Keep going, please.
So they had their own proprietary digital coin on that exchange that could be used to buy services and things of that nature and could be traded and had its own value. And that coin was called FTT. So FTX, very large cryptocurrency exchange, very successful, had a rival in a company called Binance, which was founded by a Chinese CEO. And Binance held a lot of assets in FTT. So they had a lot of FTT, and they decided a couple weeks ago that they were going to sell most of their FTT. The CEO of Binance announced that on Twitter, that they were going to sell their coin, and then set about doing that. Set off a little bit of a chain reaction. Other people were like, oh, if Binance is selling all of their crypto coin that is, you know, proprietary to FTX, maybe we should sell ours as well. So that resulted, that sale by Binance of their FTT portfolio resulted in a bit of a cash crunch FTX.
Okay. So did that expose the fraud then?
Yeah. So part of what was going on was that Binance recognized some concerns with regard to the value of FTT and became concerned about, you know, whether or not it was actually worth what it was purported to be worth. Part of their concern was that FTT was a large part of the assets of another company called Alameda Research. This company was helmed by Sam Bankman-Fried's girlfriend, Carolyn Ellison. They were all hanging out in the Bahamas, apparently having a great time doing all of this, you know, finance stuff. So Alameda had a huge amount of assets in FTT. This made Binance concerned because it seemed to be propping up the value of FTT, making Binance concerned that FTT was not actually worth what it appeared to be worth, because in fact, part of what made it appear to have value was Alameda's holdings of it, which in fact were just because Bankman-Fried was also a founder of Alameda. So Alameda was propping up FTX. FTX was propping up Alameda.
Oh my goodness.
So after Binance decided to get rid of a bunch of their FTT, Bankman-Fried had a cash crunch at FTX and went to other cryptocurrencies to say, hey, we kind of need a bailout, right? A la Lehman Brothers. Very similar. And it's important when you're really talking about cryptocurrency and when you're talking about these exchanges and all of these kinds of things, it's very important to remember that we have seen all of this before. We've seen it repeatedly. All of these figures, you know, Sam Bankman-Fried has similarities to J.P. Morgan Chase back in the early 1900s, the banking industry prior to regulation, securities industries, all of this. We've seen it all before. It's just new words for the same kind of, you know, same kind of investment opportunities and financial gamesmanship.
So that was well said. That was well articulated. But let me make sure I understand part of this. So Sam Bankman-Fried is running this Coinbase equivalent. Is it fair to say he was taking the crypto equivalent of deposits for himself? Is that fair to say?
This is a question that is going to be uncovered in the bankruptcy proceedings right now. But let me just go back one second. So after, and I know this is a little in the weeds, but after Binance got rid of their stuff and FTX needed a bailout, Binance offered to do the bailout. And then they took a look at the books. They did a little due diligence. They said, there's no way we're going to do this bailout. Totally dodgy company. And then a bunch of the customers who had holdings in FTX basically did a run on the bank, and the bank didn't have the money to pay out. So that's where bankruptcy comes in. And that's what we're seeing now play out in Delaware. And as we're seeing that play out, it turns out that the company was so poorly run. It was like this massive company. They didn't even have an accounting department. They were like dealing with expenses and all of that kind of stuff just in a Slack channel. There was no one actually taking care of any of this stuff. Yeah. And we've seen that there was just no real thought put into how to run this company. They don't have the money for it. It also turned out that FTX was funneling a bunch of money to Alameda to prop up Alameda. And the two companies were kind of, it looks like, playing a bit of a shell game, propping up each other's value, while actually there was nothing holding that value to anything tangible.
So he surrounded himself with reputable figureheads from the world of finance, mm-hmm. including former regulators. That feels so much like, oh goodness, what's her name? The woman that just is going to jail. The
Thanos.
Yeah, the Thanos.
No, Theranos.
Like Holmes.
Thanos.
Holmes did the exact same thing, mm-hmm. Where she had all these boards of like former generals and all of that. So it gives people comfort. And so then there's a huge political and then media wrinkle to this. But just to make sure that everyone understands, FTX was not regulated the same way because it was a Bahamas-based company. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And cryptocurrency regulation is still in, it's sort of in its infancy here in the U.S., but this kind of company could not exist under current U.S. regulatory law, from what I understand. Mostly I understand this from my mom, who is a retired securities lawyer, mm-hmm. who used to tell me about securities law while we rode chairlifts going skiing.
So, up in the Adirondacks?
I didn't go to MIT, but I did go to my mom's school of chairlift securities law.
Well, that's
anyway.
Better than, your mom probably understands this stuff better than some of these people that were leaning their name to it. So is it fair?
Yeah,
so
she's really brilliant.
So, but then here's the other part of it that doesn't make sense is that, some people estimated Bankman-Fried's wealth to be near $30 or $40 billion. Now they say it's worth almost nothing. So he was almost supporting this family of companies, Alameda, with some of the money from FTX, and all around what seemed to be a hyper-political agenda. He pledged $1 billion to try to defeat Trump in 2024. Mm-hmm. He was the second largest donor of the midterm cycle for Democrats, if I'm not mistaken.
And that's right.
Yet, if a company goes from being worth $30 billion to nothing in the span of a couple weeks, it probably wasn't worth much at all. And
yes.
So how is it possible that this went largely undetected for as long as it did?
Yeah, I think it went largely undetected because Sam Bankman-Fried had everybody fooled into believing that he was this amazing boy genius, altruistic, brilliant tech guy. You know, this is a narrative that we have seen play out in the US again and again. VC guys loved him. He would sit there on calls playing video games and acting very aloof and cool. And everyone thought this guy is just terrific. So I think a lot of it had to do with perception, exactly perception. And he was a big donor to Democrats. Once you have somebody funneling you all this money and telling you you're spectacular, a lot of people don't stop to ask the really important questions. And we've seen candidates or, politicians at this point trying to distance themselves from him and from the money that he gave their campaigns. We've seen people trying to donate that money elsewhere just so that they don't have to feel that their hands are dirty with it. Of course, their hands are dirty with it. We also see that Bankman-Fried had a foundation. I think it's called Better Futures. I know I wrote about it this morning, but I don't remember exactly. And his brother ran that foundation. And that foundation gave a lot of money to things like researching how to prevent pandemics in the future. He was sort of obsessed with that. Gave money to research into AI and concerns about, AI and humanity and what that was about. But he also gave a lot of money to some media outlets that are pretty reputable at this point, including recently Semaphore, which is a recent addition And a Reuters article from October, which is right around when they launched, talks about the money that this foundation run by Bankman-Fried and his brother gave this money to Semafor. They gave money to Vox, ProPublica, The Intercept, and I think something called the Law and Justice Project. I might not have the exact phrasing right on what they're called. And it's easy to see if you go to these websites and you look up who their donors are. It's right there. It's disclosed. It's not like they were hiding it. But certainly they were taking this money from this foundation.
I mean, this makes Enron look like child's play. It really does. Libby, why hasn't he been arrested yet?
I don't think that he's been shown to have broken any laws. All of the investment that anyone puts into cryptocurrency is at risk. There's no FTC guarantees like there are for regular investments at regular banks. So, yeah, I mean, when you put your money into a crypto exchange and it loses all of its value, that's entirely on you. And people need to know that. That being said, it is really a shame that so many people trusted this. I know that the Ontario Teachers Union, for example, in Canada, lost $95 million in FTX that they had holdings. They had holdings there. So that's a shame. But people need to be aware of that. Crypto investing is not for the faint of heart.
I mean, there's got to be, I mean, there's laws for fraud. I mean, there's law. I mean, there are laws where you can't misrepresent a commercial transaction, right? So
yes,
if
that's
it's
correct.
If it's true that Bankman-Fried even took $1,000 under false pretenses for himself, I mean, it doesn't take, I mean, they're trying to prosecute Donald Trump for having memorabilia.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break.
Right. That's the question for Bankman-Fried. Did he take his customers' money and give it to political campaigns? Did he take his customers' money and use it to bail out his girlfriend's company? Did he take his customers' money and give it to his foundation or line his own pockets with it or anything else? That's a question that has not yet been answered. And you mentioned Enron earlier. As FTX is in bankruptcy proceedings in Delaware, one of the people who is involved, I think he took over and is managing the bankruptcy of the company, was also involved in the whole Enron situation and closing out Enron. So yeah, that's actually pretty interesting. And some of the documentation that we've seen come out of that bankruptcy proceeding shows a company that is very poorly run. And this guy said that as well. He said that the numbers that show up on the FTX balance sheet were constructed when Bankman-Fried was the CEO of the company, which he no longer is. And this guy says he doesn't trust those numbers. New numbers have to be done. Bankman-Fried maybe made these numbers up. It's very possible that none of the information that SBF has presented in terms of their balance sheet is accurate.
I mean, yeah, at some point, there might not be laws against stealing cryptocurrency from people. I find that still hard to believe. But there is a multitude of fraud laws on the federal books. I mean, they're going after people for misrepresenting allegedly nasal spray, even though they didn't, for COVID. I mean, this is not that far reaching. Let's play cut 103 of another brilliant prediction from Jim Cramer, who still is allowed on television, amazingly. Play cut 103.
J.P. Morgan of this generation, Sam Bankman-Fried's FTX.
Yes.
Is slashing everybody's margin. And average fees per transaction across the industry had declined by 50%. A lot of that is the man, Sam Bankman-Fried.
He's the man, Libby. He is the man. He was built up and puffed up by every single person imaginable. Your thoughts, Libby?
Yeah, I think that that's really a shame. I think he must have just fooled everyone entirely. One thing that's interesting in terms of when you talk about JPMorgan Chase, who I think in 1907 put together a fund to help bail out banks if necessary. That's something that the Binance CEO is doing. And when he said that he would not bail out FTX, he decided to get together with some other cryptocurrencies and put together a fund that would help bail out crypto exchanges if they needed it. So I don't think it's Bankman-Fried at all who's the JP Morgan Chase. I think it's probably this other guy who runs Binance, who's a lot closer to that estimation.
Jeez, it's unbelievable. Libby, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Great commentary. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thanks. You too, Charlie. Have a good one.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.